This woman has surprises and adventures and mysteries that are solved, even into this later stage of life.
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Proofread, the podcast where we proofread the book so you can know how to spend your time. Mm-hmm. I'm Tyler, and with me as always is...
Casey.
Casey, what's a fun fact about yourself?
I love to read.
That's all you really need to know.
What's a fun fact about you?
The fun fact about me is that I don't read as much as I would like to read, right?
You don't read as much as you want people to think.
That's right. No, I read all the time.
I know, in fact, you do.
I recently read a book called The Correspondent.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about
it. Would you like to spend some time talking about The Correspondent?
I would love to. I accept your invitation.
Okay. Our episode today for you is Virginia Evans's The Correspondent, which is exciting because it just came out in 2025.
Yes.
This is a novel. It's an epistolary novel.
It's epistolary. It's hot off the presses, and it is epistolary.
It means it is all letters. The whole novel is written through letters. This is actually Virginia Evans' debut novel, which is exciting because her debut novel, and she gets it, Ann Patchett calls it a cause for celebration right on the cover there.
Oh, boy. What a feather in her cap.
What a feather in her cap. Right at the beginning.
A feather in her cap because, this is a spoiler, one of the letters is to Ann Patchett.
Yes.
In this book. It's fictional, I guess. And then she's got a blurb on the book. What a treat. Oh, my gosh. Your first book, you pretend to write a letter to Ann Patchett, and then Ann Patchett...
Actually says this is a great book.
Gives you the quote.
It feels like it's in Ann Patchett's best interest to say this is a good book.
Good for Virginia Evans.
So what Casey's referring to here is that this book centers on a character whose name is Sybil Vanderwerp, who's getting on in years. She's some years retired. And the fun thing about Sybil is that she writes letters, not just like to her friends or family, but like to everyone. Like, if she finds something interesting about someone, she writes a letter. If she reads a book that she likes, she writes a letter to the author.
Yeah.
If she has an album that she liked listening to, she writes a letter to the to the musician. If there's a newspaper article that she read that she disliked or enjoyed, she writes a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's... like a charming little thing.
I think that's very charming.
Part of the charm of this book is you're getting a bunch of letters that this woman, and some of the letters are in response, right? Like it's not
you
all
hear
just
back.
Sybil.
She hears backs, back from right? some people.
But the delight is that she hears back from people that you wouldn't have expected.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, and I don't think this is a huge spoiler, she has had a years-long letter correspondence with Joan Didion.
Oh, yes.
That's like one of the charming parts of this book.
It made me think, would Joan Didion write me back?
Well, not anymore.
I mean, would she have though?
Yeah,
I mean,
would she
wow.
have? If she wrote you back now, that'd be impressive. You might need a Ouija board, but it would be impressive. But yeah, so this is kind of like over the course, I think it probably spans maybe like 8 years of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just various letters that she's written to her family, to her kids, to her best friend growing up, to former pen pals. And then sprinkled in here is like all sorts of delightful little
Very delightful.
Mm-hmm. So that's the whole book. Some of them are emails. Some of them are handwritten letters. But there's a whole host of characters that happen. And then, of course, there's, what would you say, subtle mysteries? There's not like one driving mystery. I guess there kind of is.
There's a kind of a few. But
there's a few little ones.
And they're not just random letters. You're kind of thinking, oh, an old lady letters. We better get into reader skip first.
Okay.
But yeah, there are some. There's a narrative that is revealed through letters.
Yeah. Okay, well, you've set it up for us, Casey. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
One, two, three,
read.
Aw, here we are, both appreciating this little lovely, what do you call this, novel?
Yeah. Nostalgia for a time when you could write letters and people would read them. That's so nice. Such a neat way to communicate.
It is a neat way to communicate.
And she makes comments all the time like, sometimes when I talk, I go off too quickly. Or even when I write emails, I send it too fast, that the letters actually slow her down and make her more thoughtful, which is addressing a huge problem in society today.
Absolutely. I think that is, we said charm. I think this book is charming in its own way for the fact of here's this woman who sits down and thinks through what she's saying. It's called The Correspondent, and sometimes she is very rude, so biting.
She is
like,
so
if my
biting.
Grandma wrote me that letter, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Grandma.
Don't think you don't want to read about an old lady because you think it's going to be boring in her letters. Because it isn't boring. It's wonderful and interesting. And it is a page turner just to say, oh my gosh, what did the help guy at Ancestry.com say when he
yes,
wrote back?
Exactly.
You're going to be dying for the answer. But also, and you're like, I don't always value the lives of old people as much as I should. And
I salute every old person
because
I see.
I'm like getting older. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still just a real normal person. Because now I'm like in later life and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just was writing off old people when I was young. I think young people write off old people. That's what I'm saying. Not us personally, because we're in the middle. But this lady, she is up into her 70s and you're thinking, eh, she's done. Like, what else is there? We do know that she is going blind.
My dad's listening to this podcast and he just turned 70. And so now he's thinking, oh, Casey thinks I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm right. I was wrong for thinking that.
Okay.
Because what is so lovely about this is that this woman has surprises and adventures and mysteries that are solved even into this later stage of life. That is what it is. It is like that. It can be like that.
Yeah.
I think we all hope that it will be like that. And as you get older and older, you realize, yeah, of course it's like that. I'm still just like a living, vibrant human. And it's really nice to see this, that she has new relationships and she has growth, because she can be kind of a jerk. She's really smart, but she can be biting. She's cool. Her politics are cool. Like, she's just interesting. She's had a really cool career. And she does see where she's been too harsh in some relationships. She makes amends.
Well,
and it's nice to see that she changes.
Yeah, that I think is like part of the fun. I mean, this is fiction, right? I don't actually know how old Virginia Evans is, but I don't think she's as old as Sybil Vanderwerp is in the, based on the picture on the back cover, not as old.
Not as old.
I kind of have started to do this more than I ever have before, which is just kind of like start to make sense of my life in different ways, which I wasn't doing 10 years ago. I was just kind of like
plowing through.
And I'm still plowing through to a certain extent. My kids are young. We're just trying to keep up with everything. But there's a sense here where this woman has this like range, and then she's thinking about herself in different ways. And the idea of like reading the experience of someone coming to an awareness of themselves, I think is really insightful.
It's very insightful. It's so, and she's adopted. We know that from the beginning. So some of this, she finds out a little bit more about where she's from. And you see her go through, I don't need to know where I'm from. I already know I have my parents. And you see her like come around and find things out, and that you would still have self-discovery when you're like 70 plus.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I just thought it was really beautiful. But also, it's really funny, and she is a cool person.
Yeah, the thing that impressed me about this book genuinely is how complex of a character you can create just by their
letters.
Like, it's just voice and tone, and you feel like Sybil is a real character, and you are like getting to know the different parts of her when she's writing to this kind of like young teen friend, like her one of her former associate's children that she's kind of mentoring in these letters. They write to each other monthly, and you get this side of her. And then she's writing to her brother, and you get this side of her. Then she's writing to her friend who's been her best friend since like junior high. Mm-hmm. And that is like a different side. And so you see this like complex person through their various relationships and through the way. And I think the author does such a nice job of really nailing how different we are when we talk to different people.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to her. I wish she'd write to me. Like, we've read the same books. The Roundhouse, Wuthering Heights. I wrote down every book that she mentioned.
This is what I'm like, going to do for your birthday, Casey, is just write you letters in the voice of Sybil Vanderwerp.
You should. I would love that. So she writes to George Lucas, though not as a fan, to get some advice for this young friend of hers who's into wanting to write science fiction, I think. So
yeah. And then Lucas, no, we're not going to say.
You got to
read.
It's worth reading, and so we're not going to tell you what happens. But I was thinking something that would be so fun. I think this is a great book that you could like give to your friends, and I think it'd be fun to have a book club where you read all the books that she talks about and all the authors that she mentions.
Because I haven't read correspondent book club.
I haven't read all of them, but the ones I have read are books I love: Cutting for Stone, The Roundhouse, State of Wonder. That's the Ann Patchett one.
Mm.
I like those books so much that I'm thinking I'm bad. I'll like all the books that she mentions and she talks about. I want to do this. I have tried to do this. I'm a fan that like tries to reach out to like musicians and things like that. I've done this my whole life. She's so lucky that they write back. I mean, they never write back to me. I want to tell them, this is what I thought of the book, and ask them questions and correspond about it. And she does. And I love that. This is like my dream.
Sybil is
this
your future life.
Yeah, I do. I was like, I wish I were her.
So you love this.
I love this book.
Yeah. I was surprised at how much I liked it.
I was given this book by someone who knows that I would love it, and good for them. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's very sweet, because when someone recommends a book to me that I love, I think that person really knows me. then when you have the book, I hadn't started yet. Everyone was talking about it in like different realms, like at work and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, I got to go. I got to finish The Correspondent. And I'm like, that book about letter writing from an old lady? Like, what do you got to get?
Letters from a shut-in?
How can you not?
Yeah.
It's a page turner. So here's one example of how she's like, this is kind of her personality. At one point she's talking about the name her daughter's going to name her baby. And she's like, she wants to name her Frances. And she's like, I hate the name, but I wouldn't say that to
but
anyone.
But I would never say that to her.
And that resonated so much with me because here's a little bit about me. I was house sitting at my husband's grandparents' house, and I read his grandpa's journal, and he said the same thing about my son's name. They think they're going to be naming him Samuel and Samuel Benjamin, that was his name. He was named after him. He's like, I like the middle name, but I really don't care for the Samuel. Exact same thing. I saw that was so funny. It's relatable, and some of that stuff just resonated with me because it's real. It's like about real people yes. and real true things. And I thought, you know, that's how she seems a little snarky, but that she's also a real person. So I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, I wanted to read a passage from this, and it's a slight spoiler, but it's on page 27, so it's not spoiling that much for you. This is a letter that she wrote to Joan Didion on November 14th, 2012, right?
Dear Joan Didion.
It's Dear Joan, actually. They're on a first-name basis
at
this
point. Oh, yeah,
they're friends. Right? But she says, but I think of life rather like a long road we walk in one direction. By and large, a lonesome walk out in the wilderness, in the wildness of hills and wind. Mountains, snow. And sometimes there is someone to come along and walk with you for a stretch. And sometimes, this is what I'm getting to, sometimes you see in the distance some lights and it heartens you. The lone house or maybe a village, and you come into the warmth of that stopover and go inside. Maybe you have a warm supper and stay a night, or maybe you stay there a few years. I had one of those stopovers when the children were young, just before Gilbert died. And Don and I were happy, even though I didn't know it was happiness at the time. Because it felt like busyness and exhaustion and financial stress and self-doubt. But Gilbert's death was a swift ejection back out to the loneliness, to the loneliest bitter stretch of road, and that is the bone-crunching grief. I'm not saying I've not come in from the wind a few more times in my life. I have. And of course I have my other children, and they have been a joy and comfort. I'd like to say they were enough, but it wasn't enough, and that is another avenue of grief. But anyway, my point is, I tire of people speaking of seasons as if you can count on 3 months of winter turning out 3 months of summer on repeat. It's not so. The stretches on the high, wind-blown road are far commoner than the stopovers in comfort. And aren't we always trying to get back to the happier times? I think that's what it feels like with Gil. I've spent my life trying to get back to having him, even though I know I cannot. And I wanted to read that just as a passage of there is some heavy stuff.
Like, there's a lot of depth in this book. I'm talking about it like it's lighthearted and fun. It is lighthearted and fun and funny, but it's about grief. That's why the Joan Didion is so poignant, because Joan Didion writes about grief and they are sharing that.
Yeah.
And she's so honest. She's writing from the perspective of having lived her whole life. She's telling the truth. She has these secrets.
Yeah.
I never got over it. Yeah. I thought the other children were enough. They weren't.
Yeah.
Like, that's a heavy secret.
And that grief colors things. Like, there's another kind of correspondence in here that you're aware that, like, something happened and you're not quite sure what happened. And so you're reading with that intrigue. And what ends up happening is a serious thing, right? Like, you have to wrestle with it. So I think that there is a depth to this book in the kind of fun letters to Joan Didion and Ann Patchett, George Lucas kind of way. There's also this depth of it's the story of a woman really trying to come to terms with her life,
right,
and the ways that it wasn't what she wanted it to be, and in the ways that she failed in ways.
Yes, yes.
But also recognizing the amazing things that she did. And you see her like be nervous about something, and then she's brave and she faces her fear. And so I just think as a, what do we call this? A character study, right? Mm-hmm. Like living on another set of nerves for a little while. Mm-hmm. This book gives you that. And I think in a warm, ultimately warm kind of way, even though you're sad for the things that made her life sad.
Mm-hmm.
So we always, of course, like to just give like a content warning. Is there anything in here that you're thinking about in terms of content warning?
I don't think so. Nothing objectionable. Just, you know, hard things that happen in life. No swearing.
There may be a swear word or two.
Maybe a low level, minor.
Sybil's a real dignified woman.
She's very
though.
Dignified.
Yeah.
She's never obscene.
Yeah, exactly. So
and nothing vulgar.
Nope, not at all.
What shelf would you put this on?
Okay, the shelf I would put this on is like recommend. Like this is a book that's like if someone's staying at my house and they're like, oh, I'm looking for a book to read for the couple days that I'm here, I would give them this book. Like this is a genuine good book, easy book to recommend. Like you said, if you're doing a book club, this would be a blast to do in a book club.
It's a perfect book club book. Would also spawn other discussions of other books that would be really fun to read. And so this shelf for me is a book lover's book.
Yeah.
For sure.
Such a good one. As soon as I finished this, I told my wife, I was like, this one you got to read. You know, it's in that category.
Yeah, it's great.
So one of the better ones we've read on the pod, I think.
Yeah, one of my faves.
All right. Well, Miss Virginia Evans in your debut novel.
You've been proofread.
You've been proofread.
I wish I had written this book because it's like so clever how she did it. And you just think, how could it be that interesting? But it is.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.